Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give you them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day. Thank you for keeping us safe and watching over us. And we think about these dear people in the Philippine islands that have suffered great loss. And Lord, many of them didn't have anywhere near what we have. And now, Lord, what they did have has been taken away, much of it, in some of these areas. Lord, would you please be with these dear people and help them? And I pray, as relief efforts are going forth by many churches and organizations, Lord, would as the gospel goes in with the supplies, Lord, would many people turn to Christ through this tragedy, through this difficult time. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us here tonight, that you would help me to clearly, Lord, preach what you've put on my heart, and, Lord, that I'd be able to communicate in a way that would glorify you and be pleasing to you. I ask that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that we'd be tender to the Word of God. Lord, that we'd receive it, Lord, with all readiness of heart and mind. And Lord, I pray that you change us and work in our lives in a special way tonight, in a particular way. And Lord, we'll thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for what it stands for. And as they hold up Jesus Christ, I pray that you would do great and mighty things as you've done in the past in this place. Many people have come to know you in this church, and because of this church, this group of people that have assembled here together, and we'll give you the praise. Speak to us tonight. If there's somebody lost, save them in Jesus' name. Amen. As I come to this text, I see that the disciples have been out ministering. The Lord has sent them forth, and the great miracles have been wrought. They have proclaimed the Word of God, and all these things they are so excited about because they've seen God use them and what God is doing and people responding to the Word of God. And so they have come back and they're talking about this to the Lord. That excitement and enthusiasm, though, is somewhat limited in the fact that also with that great message of people getting saved is the message that John the Baptist has been beheaded. And so that joy is tempered because of this news that John has gone on to be with the Lord. He has been beheaded. And they bring this sad news to the Lord, and they're telling him about this. At this time, there are also many people coming and going. There is a lot of activity going on. And so the disciples, through all their activity, through going and ministering and all that they've given to this, through all this news coming of John the Baptist being beheaded, and now the activity, the disciples have become tired. They're ministering. They're serving God. They're come to a place now that the Lord sees that they're weary. They were so busy, the Bible says, they didn't even have time to eat. And so the Lord says, let's come apart for a while. And so they determine to take a ship and go to the other side. And as they do this, the crowds see them. And they begin to follow and outgo them. And as they do this and outgo the disciples and the Lord on the ship, we come to our story. And the Lord gets out of the ship and he takes to this mountain. It belongs to the territory of Bethsaida, And as we read this, we find that the Lord gets out and he sees this great multitude. And as he looks at this multitude in verse 14, the Bible said he was moved with compassion toward them. And I'm glad the Lord has compassion on folks, aren't you? Yes, that he sees us where we are. He knows our needs. He's concerned with our burdens. God cares. And we see that in this portion of Scripture. As I look at these Scriptures in the book of Matthew, and then we look in Mark, and we look in Luke, and we look in John, we find this story is recorded in all of the Gospels. And when we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that these Gospels give us an overview, if you will. It doesn't really give us the human interest side, if you will. When we turn to the book of John, we find a more personal and close-up look. The Lord seems to hone in on two disciples in particular, and we see not only what's going on with the group as a whole, but we see that the Lord is pointing out a couple of disciples and how he is working in their lives. And God does that. God works. It's not just you come to this church and being a part of this church and God loving this church. God does love this church, and God is working in this church, and God is moving in the ministry of this church. But God cares about you as an individual. God cares about where you are. You might say, well, I want to get lost in the crowd. I want to get lost in the mix. And sometimes people want to do that. But God is interested in you as a person. And God cares about where you are in your plight in this world right now. And so as I look in John chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, as I read this personal interest side, if you will, of this story, we spotlight here, we look at Philip and the Lord talking to Philip, and we see that the Lord saw a great company, and he asked Philip this question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? If you look through all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that there are several questions asked, and there are several commands given. As you look at the questions, there are four questions that are asked, four in particular questions that are asked in this story, if you go through all the Gospels. And there are seven in particular commands that are given. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the thought of questions and commands, I would think that the Lord would be the one giving the commands, and the disciples would be the one asking the questions. That seems like that would be the appropriate thing to me, that the disciples wouldn't be doing the commanding, but the Lord would be doing the commanding. But when we read the Gospels, we find that it's in reverse. Right off the bat, the Lord asks the first question, and the first command that's given is by the disciples. But I want to look at this first question, and there is a reason that the Lord asked this question. The Bible gives us the answer. It tells us right off the bat that the Lord asked, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And the Lord tells us why he asked that question. He asked that question to prove Philip. He has something in mind here. The response is a little bit amusing to me, but it fits our situation so well. I see he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip's response is, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Now, it doesn't surprise me that he asked Philip. Philip is from Bethsaida, and that's where they were. And it's not unusual that he would ask Philip, where or when shall we buy bread that these may eat? But I don't believe that's the only reason, and I believe the Lord points that out to us when he says he asked him this question, not because he knew the territory, not because he knew his way around, but because he had something special in mind. And the Lord knows what kind of questions to ask us. When the Lord begins to probe around our heart through the preaching of the word, or when you're alone in your devotions, the Lord knows what kind of questions to ask of you. Peter, do you love me? Remember that? He knows what kind of questions to ask to dig down deep where we really are in life and to find out what is going on in our life and do we really believe him and trust him. This question was a question of provocation. It was to provoke Philip to think. Philip, do you believe me? Philip, do you believe that there are possibilities that you've not thought about? That I want you to have a new perspective. That there's some great things that I can do. He asked Philip this question to prove him. Philip's response is amusing, though. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. That's not what the Lord asked Philip. He didn't ask him how much is it going to cost. He said, whence shall we buy bread? And I can see Philip saying, Lord, no, you've got the question wrong. You don't understand, Lord. You got the wrong question. It's not where are we going to buy bread, when shall we buy bread? The question is, how are we going to do it? You're asking me to go look for bread or where can we buy bread? And Lord, I'm telling you, we don't have enough in the bag to take care of all this. Do you understand how many people are here, Lord? Do you understand what you're asking? There's 5,000 men, looks like, out here besides women and children. And you're asking me, where can we buy bread? I mean, Judas is holding the bag and I don't think there's that much in the bag, Lord. Lord, you just don't understand. And how many times has the Lord asked us to do something and we say, no, Lord, you just don't understand. Moses had that problem, didn't he? Lord, you just don't understand. I'm kind of slow. A speech. You don't understand, Lord. But yes, the Lord does understand. He knows what kind of question to ask to get to the heart of the matter. And here he's asking whence, and Philip is saying not whence, how. He's bringing Philip to this place of realizing his insufficiency. Lord, we don't have enough money to take care of this. Lord, there's not enough money at our disposal to take care of this. He's provoking Philip to think that, Lord, you can do everything. But Philip's missing this, isn't he? Philip's missing this. He's not getting the question. He's provoking him to think. And Philip goes straight to the heart of the matter, though, saying, we're not capable of doing this. That's the point, Philip. That's the point. And all through this story, we're going to see this, that the Lord is bringing these disciples to the place to realize that they have some. And that'd be the title of my message tonight, when some is not enough. And all of us, God has given us certain things, abilities and talents, and God has given us resources and given us abilities. And sometimes we think that our abilities and our resources and things, the talents that God's given us, is how we're going to get it done. But may I remind you that it's much greater than that. And it's a blessed day when we come to the place that we realize that though God has given us talents and abilities and resources and all these things, that is not enough in and of itself, that we need something greater, that we need God to help us, that we need His power, that we need Him to work in our lives, that it's all about Him and it's not about us. And if He doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. He has to do it. And so he says, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. I want you to remember that. That's going to come up again. And I want you to remember when the Lord said this to Philip and asked this question, it says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. The bank and on the mountain, and he's up there with his disciples. And remember in Matthew, he looked and saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. That's when this is.
This is the first of the story. I used to not put it there, but that's where it is. He lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. And this is when he's talking to Philip and saying this thing to Philip. And Philip responds in this way, Lord, our money is not enough, is what he's saying. Then I want you to notice the first command. That was the first question. The first command is this in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. And we'll be turning back and forth. And so if you want to put your finger in the book of Matthew, and we'll look at some other scriptures as well. But Matthew chapter 14 is where we'll be most of the time. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. So we found the first question was asked by the Lord. Now the first command is by the disciples. Okay, Lord, send the multitude away. We've got this figured out. We know what needs to be done. And in all honesty, there were some real problems. It was a desert place. There wasn't anything there. It was not because it wasn't desert, because it was sandy, but it was a place where it was desolate. There's no place to buy anything. It was a grassy place. We find that from other scriptures. But it was a place where there was nowhere to buy anything. And so we find it's a desert place. There's nothing there. The time is now past. In other words, it's getting really late. If they're going to get something, they're going to have to go now. We see that the disciples already didn't have anything to give them. As far as they knew at this time, let them buy themselves victuals. In other words, we don't have anything. There's some real problems here. There's a real need. The need was not manufactured. It wasn't something that they were just making up. Lord, send them away because there's some needs here. There was a need. There's nothing here. It's getting late. They don't have anything. There's a real need. And they see this need, and they say, Lord, you need to do something. And we've got a plan here. We've got a method to take care of this problem. And sometimes we come up with methods and plans. And I don't think there's anything wrong with planning. Don't get me wrong. Methods and plans, how we're going to reach a world that needs the gospel, how we're going to take care of a situation, how we're going to plan and we're going to work things out, and we've got our ideas. But I want you to notice the Lord's response to them. The Bible says they need not depart. But Lord, do you not understand? Well, there's people here that have a need. They're in a desert place. It's getting late. They're hungry. They're going to faint away. Lord, something's got to be done. And this is the game plan. This is what we've come up with. And the Lord says, fellas, your methods, though you got a heart to do the right thing, and I believe there's people who have a heart to do the right thing. They want to do something for God. They want to be a blessing. They want to be a help. The problem is it's not God's plan. It's not the way God wants it done. And sometimes we get ideas and we think, boy, this is a wonderful idea. This is a great thing. This is the way this needs to be done. And God says, that's not how I want it done. And he said, they need not depart. That's your plan, but that's not my plan. I have a way that I want this accomplished. I have a purpose. And so God says, not only is he bringing them to this place that their money is not sufficient, he's bringing them to the place that their methods are not sufficient. Then I see the second command. And this is in Matthew 14, 16. Now the Lord starts commanding. And that's really where we need to get to. Yes, that we're not commanding and telling the Lord how we think it ought to be done. And we start letting the Lord tell us how it ought to be done. We start saying, okay, Lord, we don't know how to do it. It's obvious that what we're trying to do is not your way of doing it. How do you want it done? The Lord doesn't wait for them to ask that question, but he does tell them in Matthew chapter 14, verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. I used to preach that God will never ask us to do anything that we're not able to do. But I've had to back up on that. Because I find in this scripture that that's exactly what Jesus is asking them to do. He's asking them to do something that there is no human way that they can accomplish what he's asking them to do. And it's a blessed day in all of our lives when we come to the place that we understand it may be God's wanting you to preach. And you say, God, I can't preach. I can't preach. Maybe God's wanting you to teach. Maybe God is burdening your heart in a particular way to witness to that person at work across from you. Or maybe it's that family member. And you just say, Lord, I just don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I have the wherewithal to be able to tell them. I'm scared, Lord, what they're going to say. I can't do it. And the Lord is prodding your heart and pricking your heart. And you say, I can't. I can't, Lord. It's a blessed day when we realize within ourselves we do not have the power to do the things that God has asked us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has asked us to do some things, and the disciples give you them to eat. And the disciples realize they can't do that. Now I want to say this. God will never ask us to do anything that he will not give us the power to fulfill. But God does want us to come to the place that we realize that we actually need him. That we need him. Sometimes we think, well, I can teach that class. I've been doing it for 20 years. Well, that's the problem. You think you can do it now. Same with preaching. Oh, well, I've preached for 20 years now. I can do it. I can get an outline. I can go up there and I can bring a message. Well, that's the problem. Is we think we can do it and we don't need God's help anymore. And he's bringing the disciples to this place that they are broken and they realize that, God, I don't have the wherewithal to do it. You're asking me to do something impossible. And we find it in the response that they give. This is the second question. Now the commands are being given by the Lord. The questions are being asked by the disciples. And the disciples say in Mark chapter 6 and verse 37, they say this, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? You know, where do you think they got this 200 penny worth of bread? We already found out Philip asked that question of the Lord. Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. And I don't know if the disciples were standing around when he asked Philip this question and they overheard this conversation. Or if Philip went up and said, fellas, you know what the Lord just asked me? He was wanting me to see where we could buy bread for this crowd. And I told him 200 penny worth of bread ain't going to be enough. But I think it's kind of unusual that they would all come up with the same number. Because the first time it was Philip saying it, now it's the disciples saying it. And I don't think it's just by happenstance that they came up with this 200 penny worth of bread number. I think they were either privy to this conversation or Philip has said something. And now they're saying, Lord, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Philip's already said it. Lord, what are we going to do? You're telling us to do what's impossible. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread? And Christ's commands often expose our inadequacies, what we're unable to do. Question 3, Jesus asks this, and it's a question of examination. How many loaves have ye? How many loaves have ye? This is in Mark 6:38. Mark chapter 6, verse 38, the Lord says, how many loaves have ye? It's a question of examination. Lord, we're not able. Well, what do you have? What do you have available to you? What resources do you have? What abilities do you have? What talents do you have? People say, well, I can't serve the Lord. I can't do this. I can't do. What can you do? Search your life. What has God given you? What has God done for you? What do you have at your disposal that God wants you to use for his glory? You say, but it's insufficient. It's not much. It's just a little bit. I don't think that I can do it. Examine. God's saying, what do you have? What talents have I give you? What can you do for me? What is it? Is it play the piano? Is it sing a special? Is it preach the gospel? Is it teach a class? Is it clean the church? What is it? Is it visit a shut-in? What has God given you that you can do, that you can be a blessing, that you can help? Check and see. How many loaves have you? This question's followed immediately by a command. This command of examination is followed by the command in Mark 6:38, go and see. It's a command of urgency, of investigation. Go and see. Go search it out. Go look and see. There was a real need. There was a problem. There was people that were needing to be fed. And he said, I want you to look and see how many loaves you have. Don't wait. It's a call for urgency. Go and see. Go and see. Don't put off tomorrow. Don't go look tomorrow. I want you to go now. And the Lord speaks to your heart. And when he speaks to my heart, sometimes we say, well, I'll take care of that later. I'll go take care of that after the service when I get home. And you get out of this church, you don't think another thing about it. You don't think about what God's done in your life during the service. The preacher gets up here and preaches. The best time to deal with those things is immediately. It's an urgent matter. There is a need. And so I see this command, go and see. The question of examination is always followed with the command of urgency. There's no time to delay. The people are hungry. The day was past. The apostles' money was not sufficient. We need to do something about it. Don't just sit around. Don't wait idly. Go and see. Examine your heart. Then question number four. We saw the command, go and see. And as they go and they search and they look and they see what's at their disposal, they know that can't be much. They know they don't have anything. They know that the money's not sufficient. They know all these things, but they go and look anyway. And as they go and look, we see the response that is given in John chapter 6, book of John chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's read verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. And here's the question. But what are they among so many? Okay, Lord, I've gone and looked, but it doesn't look too good. It doesn't look too good. It's not looking good. I mean, it's what we get. Five loaves and two small fishes. And some of us come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're dealing with me about preaching. I know you're dealing with me about this particular part of service. And I've examined my heart. I've examined my life. You've told me to go and see. I've looked. And as I look, yeah, Lord, you've done some things in my life. But what are they among so many? Here's the need. I don't know about you. Sometimes you look at the need and you look at what you have to offer and you think, seems overwhelming sometimes, doesn't it? And you think, how can I make a difference in this world? How can I, what am I going to do? I just seem so insignificant. I seem so helpless sometimes. What are they among so many? They're realizing their by this response that all their money's insufficient, their methods, but their means. Their means are not going to get the job done in and of themselves. And we come to the place that the Lord is wanting these disciples to come, and he's wanting every one of us to come to. And we find it in Matthew chapter 14, verse 18, and it says this. He said, bring them hither to me. Bring them to me. Fellows, I know, I've known all along that we didn't have enough money, that your money that you had wasn't going to be enough to buy food. I knew that your methods were not going to take care of this. I knew that. I knew that your means, when you went and looked for the fishes, that you were going to come back and say, Lord, this isn't going to take care of this great need. But bring them to me. Bring it to me. And all these things, that excuses that you're making and I've made in the past and that we give the Lord. But Lord, it's not sufficient. You know what the Lord's wanting you to do? Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I know it's not enough. I know it can't in and of itself do any good. But maybe feed one little boy. But bring it to me. Bring it to me. And the Lord right now may be speaking to your heart and you're saying, boy, I sure like to serve God, but I just don't feel like I can. What he's telling you tonight is just bring it to me. I want to use you. I want to do something in your life. I want to bless your life. I want to do great things. Bring it to me. We shouldn't ever despise small things. Say, oh, I just have a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. Don't despise small things. It might be the unappreciated may be your greatest friend. See, the key's not in our abilities, our reasoning, our methods, our promotions, our intellect, our understanding, our resources. It's in committing to Christ what he desires. And what is it Christ desires? He desires whatever he asks. What's he asking of you? What is it? What does he want? Young people, what does he want from you? What's he dealing with your heart about that in your life is not right? Or that thing that's in your life that you're not giving to God? Older person, what is it in your life that you know that you're holding on to? It may be because you want your way in your life. It may be because you feel inadequate. Whatever it is, you're holding on to it with both fists and you say, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I remember one time I was walking through the mall. And as I was walking through the mall, the Lord pricked my heart to speak to two teenage boys. And I thought, well, Lord, I felt convicted. I thought, particularly, I need to talk to those boys. And I said, well, Lord, I don't have a gospel tract on me. How am I going to talk to these boys? I don't have anything to give them. How am I going to approach these boys? And as I walked down, I was going to get measured for a tuxedo for a wedding, and I walked and I kept fighting, and I thought, Lord, how am I going to approach them? I don't know what to do. I feel incapable. I feel insufficient to be able to do this. How do I do this, Lord? What do I say? How do I approach them? And I went into to get measured for the tuxedo, and I didn't witness to them. And I remember getting measured, and in my heart, thinking how I disobeyed God and how it troubled me. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me another opportunity, I don't know what I want to say. I don't know how I'm going to approach these people. But if you'll give me another opportunity, I'll witness to those guys. They had gone up the escalator, going up to a game room, I assumed. That's where most of the young guys went to that went up there. We're going to a game room of the ladies. And so I got ready to leave. I finished getting measured for the tux, and I was leaving. And as I stepped out the door, guess who was coming down the escalator? And they got off, and it started all over. Lord, I know I told you that I'd witness to these boys, but Lord, I don't know. What do I say? Lord, I don't have a track. How am I going to do? And I said, Lord, I told you I would. I don't know what. And so I started praying, Lord, I don't know what to say. As I came up behind them, I noticed one of them had an emblem on his shirt. It looked like a devil, a cartoon kind of devil and some fire. And I tapped one of them on the shoulder, and I said, excuse me. I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, what is it? I said, I just want to know on the back of your shirt, what is that on the back of your shirt? Oh, that's my group, man. It's a rock and roll band. That's my group, man. I said, really? I said, I was just wondering. I said, it reminded me of a picture of hell. And I just wanted to ask you, if you die today, do you know if you go to heaven or hell? And I had an opportunity to witness, and I had a group of young people gather around me. I was only probably 19 or 20 at the time. And I remember that group gathering around me of boys. And they're all laughing and jeering. And then, I wasn't married at the time, then I didn't realize there's a group of girls gathered around me, and they're all jeering and mocking at me, and that's a difficult thing for a teenage boy. But I kept witnessing to them, and they didn't get saved, but the Lord taught me something very important at that time. Brooks, just obey me. Just give it to me. You're not capable. You don't know what to do, but if you'll just give it to me, I'll guide you. I'll show you what to say. I'll help you know what to do. And I witnessed to those boys that day, and the Lord helped me and gave me a boldness that I could trust God. If I do what He's saying, He'd help me and enable me and do through me what I didn't have the power or didn't have the ability to do myself. And He helped me that day and strengthened me. And God's saying, bring it to me. Bring them to me. Bring the loaves and the fishes to me. What does Christ want from you? Whatever He's asking of you. Amen. The bread just had to be committed to His hands, and the fish had to be committed to His hands. The bread was not sufficient in of itself without three things. It needed God's blessing. It needed God's power. It needs God's authority on it. And I want you to notice that whenever He asked for it, here this boy brings this lunch. And I believe the Lord's a gentleman. I think He said, young man, you have five loaves and two fishes there, I understand. Would you give that to me? I don't think he took it. I don't think he was rude to him. I think he said, young man, may I have your lunch? Now, we don't know how many loaves and fishes that boy came with. That boy may have came with 10 loaves and 4 fishes. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We know at this point in time, the boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was all he had. And he said, give it to me, son. Would you give your lunch to me? And I believe the lad looked up and thought, boy, I get to give my lunch to the Lord. I don't know if he was hungry. I don't know if he was not hungry. I don't know if he'd already ate 5 loaves and 8 2 fishes and he was a little bit hungry. I don't know. But I do know this. He gave it to the Lord. And the Lord took it. Now that's important. Because some of you think that what I've got, God wouldn't want anyway. But God is asking because he does want what you have. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how menial you think it is or how small or insignificant you think it is. God's saying, I want it. And if you'll give it, he'll take it. He'll take it. That boy, I don't know if he was, if that lunch, that 5 loaves and 2 fishes, would have filled him up or not. But I do know this, that he could not have enjoyed that lunch if he had not given it. Now, listen to me. That lunch may have filled him up, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But there's one thing for sure. When he gave it to God, he got that much and more if he wanted it. And if he had kept it, he would have never been satisfied. It may have filled his belly, but it would have never filled his soul. And those things that you're hanging on to physically, they may fill your life. But with every bite and with every morsel and with every breath, it'll be bitterness to your soul because you know that you're spending it on you when God wanted it. God's wanting it. And God can give it back to you and do more in your life with it. And so he took it. I know not only that, but he blessed it. We find in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, it says Mark 6:41, that he blessed it. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves. What exactly does that mean? Well, we find that in the book of Matthew chapter 14. What that means, Matthew 15 verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. He gave thanks. Now, this is amazing to me. This is a picture of what the Lord wants to do with our lives. It's an illustration. It's an object lesson, if you will, if what God wants to do with our life. He wants it. He's asking for it. And if you'll give it, he'll take it. You say, oh, you don't understand how messed up my life is. You just don't know how far I've gone. You don't understand what depths I've sunk. God is asking for your life. And if you'll give it, he'll take it. Oh, not me. Oh, yes, you. You. He'll take it. I want you to notice, not only will he take it, but he'll give thanks for it. Father, thank you. Thank you. This is the one I died for. Thank you that they've come to me. Thank you that they've given me their life. Thank you, Father. And God's smile will be on your life. God will say, thank you, Father. This is the one I gave my life for. This is the one I shed my blood for. This is the one I got out of the grave for. This is the one that I've given all for. Thank you. This is the joy that was set before me. I'm not only going to take it, but I want to thank you, Father. This is why I came. You know, you say, oh, not me. Yes, you. All these boys and girls right here, all, no matter how old you are, God is thankful when you come. He blessed it and he broke them. You see, even though they were small, they were still too big. And when we come to God and he does a work in their life, he breaks us. It's a process that he takes our will. And he breaks it. Because when we come, even though we give ourselves to God, he wants to use us in ways that we couldn't imagine that he could use us. If we'll give ourselves to him, there's a process, there's something that he's going to do with our life, and that is breaking us. The Lord touched, I want you to notice, each piece. It doesn't say he broke one fish or broke one piece of bread. It says in Matthew 15:36, notice with me, Matthew 15:36 says this. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and broke them. Notice in Mark 7:41 says this. Mark 6:41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them. Because God is wanting to feed more than just you. He's got a plan for your life. He's wanting to do something that's going to be a blessing to other people. And it's not about you anymore. It's about him and others. And God's wanting to break you so he can bless you and bless others in the process. And he gave it. He gave it. He distributed it. The Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. A few last things and I'll be done. I want you to notice that in these things that God, not only did he break this bread and bless it and distribute it, I notice that he did this, and this will be the last 3 things. Command 5, 6, and 7. And it's what God is wanting to do through us. So I want to be used by God. God wants you to be used. God wants me to be used. And I want you to notice in command 5, 6, and 7, this is what God is wanting to do through us. I find in Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. How did he do that? We find that in the book of Mark 6:39. And he commanded them, the disciples, to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. What is God wanting to do? If you give your life to God, what's he wanting to do through you? What can he do with you? He's first of all wanting to give others rest and order and direction to their life. He's wanting to use you to make a difference in other people's lives. There's people that are searching and looking for peace and happiness and hope. And God says, I can give that rest. You know, when the preacher stands and preaches, it's because he's got orders from above. And the Bible says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down. How did he do that? By his disciples. And he commanded them to make all sit down. The word came from God to give to the people. And when they obeyed that word, God was giving them rest and order in their life and direction. Why? What's getting ready to happen? He's getting ready to serve them. He's getting ready to give them something. And Christ, we find in verse, the command 6, Jesus to the disciples, and he gave them to the disciples to set before them. What was the second thing that God was wanting to do through them and through us? To serve. Pastor talked about it this morning. To serve. It was to give other people rest, order, direction in their life. It was to serve others, to be a blessing to others. And so that's exactly what happened. And he gave them to the disciples to set before them, to give bread, to give nourishment, to give something that would help them. And God wants us to do that. Then last of all, he said, gather up the fragments that remain, that none be lost. That none be lost. I find here that last of all, what God's wanting to do through us is give instruction. I see as the disciples are going around, we find in the book of John 6:12-14, and this is the last scripture I'm going to read, John 6:12-14, it says this, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." What kind of instruction is being given here? Here are the disciples going around and gathering up these fragments. First of all, it tells me that there was abundance. There wasn't just enough, there was more than enough. There was more than enough. And we give our lives to God. God's wanting to instruct others, hey, this isn't just a life that's a life to be lived. This is a life that there's more than enough. This is a more than enough kind of life. It's an abundant life. And that these things that are distributed by God, that God is doing, are valuable and precious. They were gathering, and they say, well, I wonder what they're doing. Oh, they're picking up the leftovers. Why? Because what God does is valuable. Every word of God is pure. The things that God does in our life, there's nothing to be wasted. There's something to be gleaned. There's truths to be gained. And God wants us to live our life in such a way that's given to God in such a way that He can do through us what He wants to do, and that's give rest. And that's to give service to other people and let people be fed and come to know the Lord, and that they can be instructed that this life is an abundant life. It's the best life. It's the overflowing life. It's the more than enough kind of life. It's the kind of life that you can walk away from the table and your belly be full. Your spiritual belly be full. You say, boy, that's good. Boy, I feel satisfied. Isn't that how it is whenever you know that you've given all to God? That you've given Him your life, and as small and insignificant as it may seem, that you're able to say, boy, I'm not much, but God can use me. I'm amazed that God would use me. And some of you sit back and say, boy, I'm amazed that God would use me. But He's doing it, isn't He? He's doing it. And we say, boy, what a good God that He would use somebody like me. I was old drunk, and God saved me. I was a young person, never got into that. But I don't feel like I had anything to offer God, and He used me. And I feel satisfied. I did things as a teenager I would regret. And, you know, I'd always feel guilty and empty and felt like, boy, life just messing up all the time. But there's never been a time that I've been obedient to God and obeyed the Word of God and given myself to God that I've not thought, boy, this is the best life. This is a satisfying life. This is the precious life. The dearest friends I have are in church. And they're precious people. Dearest friends in the whole world. And so God wants us to realize that some is not enough. We need Him. We need Him. If you'd stand, please bow your heads. And if you would, please, and close your eyes. Pastor, if you'd come. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar tonight and you say, preacher, I do want to be used by God. And I felt these very same ways, that what I've got is just not enough. You're right, it's not. But if you put it in the right hands, it can be. Because He'll take it and He'll multiply it, and He'll do with your life what you can never do with it. And you'd like to come tonight and say, Lord, please, the best I know how tonight, I give myself. You're asking, you're taking, and I'm going to give. Tonight you'd like to say, I want to give my life to God. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your people being so attentive to Your Word. And I pray that You'd help, God, me to live out these truths. Lord, I pray that You'd guide me in truth. Thy Word is truth. And I pray that You'd help us all to not hold back and to give ourselves wholly, completely to Thee. If there's somebody here lost, I pray today, this very evening, Lord, they get saved. They give themselves to You and believe the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.